Blog Talk Radio.
Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life And God has given us that through his son, Jesus Christ, and we have the opportunity, friends, to live a free life, not free to do what we want to do, but free what we should do, and that's to live a life that brings glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I am your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California, a.k.a. Minister Big Ken 65, and we are live today. Today is Wednesday, 1405 or 205 for those civilians, p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It is 6:30, 2016, and we are glad to be here. And we're glad that we are living free. We're glad that we are free in Christ. We're free to worship him in spirit and truth. We're free to be obedient to him. We're free to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're free to give him all the glory and honor and praise that he deserves because he has been so wonderful to us. And if you have not experienced this joy and this peace that God gives you and he gives those who worship him in spirit and truth, friends, you're missing out. Missing out on something that's great. Praise God, Raul. I see you, Morales. Blessing. We have been given a privilege and an honor, friends, to worship our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can do that when we have, are born again of the Spirit, and B, we're yielding ourselves. We no longer want our will to be done, but we want his will to be done through us and in us. And we do that by surrendering ourselves and making sure that we are crucifying our flesh daily, picking up our cross, and just walking the way he wants us to walk, according to his word. His word is a road map. His word is a light to our feet and a lamp to our path, a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. And we need to believe what God says about his word. And friends, never ever should any believer take God's grace as an opportunity to say, I'm just going to live any way I want to, and you know, I'm going to pervert God's grace, I'm going to pervert his word, I'm going to make him look bad. Because God has given us light, He's given us all the ability to walk in freedom from the slave or the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 6 tells us. Let's look at that real quick. That's kind of taking us away. We just want to touch on that. I want you to understand because I hear a lot of people, a lot of pastors will say, well, you know, we don't sin, so you know, we got grace to cover it up. And, you know, and we are going to sin, but when we take the attitude that we can just sin and there's no consequences and there's no chastening, and God is not going to judge what we do, we're basically lying on God, friends. God did never save us so we can violate his truth and spurn his name and make him look bad. When we go out and sin habitually or take a stand that we love sin more than righteousness, we're telling God that his death and burial on the cross didn't mean nothing to us. And we're really not repentant, and we're really not sorry for what we've done in the sense of our sins. You know, he says, therefore, there's no condemnation, He says, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? That was a rhetorical question that Paul asked in Romans 6. And notice, if you read, there was no chapter breaks in the original, when the Bible was first written. There was no chapter breaks. Chapter breaks came in the translation after, you know, they put chapter breaks in basically so we would be able to follow different passages of Scripture. But there was no chapter breaks in the original autographer when the Bible was first written. So Paul is continuing his thought in Romans 6 where he says, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase or abound? Then he goes on and answers that question by, he says, may it never be. How should we who died to sin still live in it? So he asked the question, but rhetorically, he even answers it biblically from the fact that he says, may it never be. How should we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, so we too might walk in newness The key word is newness. If you're still walking in the old you, and you were sinning your brains out before you came to the cross, and you're still walking in that behavior, you are not free, man. You're not free. You're not set free. You're still dead in your sin instead of being dead to sin. And that's why we're doing this series as we're going through the book of Proverbs and the book of Wisdom here. We're learning what it means to be. There's a contrast between the fool and the wise. There's a contrast between the wicked and the righteous. And if you're not walking in what God says you are, either you're walking in holiness or you're walking in lies and deceit. But you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Calling number is 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Welcome again to the Prodigal Church Hour. Welcome those that's on Facebook Live, those that's on Periscope, and those that's listening in right now or will be listening in later. Might be some people over here from Friend Life that stepped over, but 646-668-8468 is the call in where you can call in. Samantha, how you doing? Praise God. I want you just to know that, hey, again, I want to remind you, tomorrow night, Thursday night, Bible study, if you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a healthy, well-balanced Bible teaching church, you can come join us tomorrow in the Los Angeles area at corechurchla.org, corechurchla.org. Please come check us out. It's located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. There's a church app, Core Church LA app at the App Store, Core Church LA app, and you'll be able to listen to the teachings of Pastor Steve Wilburn and other pastors there. You can also check out, go to www.corechurchla.org. That's the website, so you can be able to check out all of the ministries that's going on, so you can be equipped, so you can be able to tune in and get fed spiritually. It's so important for us to be feeding on the Word of God. I did a little short Facebook Live message earlier today about what are you eating, what are you feeding your soul, what are you feeding your soul. Many people are feeding their soul spiritual poison, spiritual cyanide. They're eating of the devil's table and not of God's table. So with that being said, I want us to pray, and we're going to, get ready for God's word. We're in part two of Proverbs chapter 15, contrast between the upright and the wicked. Father God, we come before you, Lord God, just thanking you, Lord God. Those of us who have embraced the cross and working out our salvation with fear and trembling, those of us who know what it means to be in bondage, Lord, and know what we don't want to be a part of anymore. Those of us who recognize that this relationship, Lord, is not a religion, but it's a door that's been opened for us, Lord, that we can walk freely with you, free from sin, free from the love of sin, free from the bondage of sin, and free to be what you want us to be, and that's to be holy. We will mess up, we will fall short, Lord, but you have given us the tools and all of the things that we need, Lord God, to keep ourselves away from those things which will hinder us from being under the condemnation of our flesh, the devil in the world. We ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would lay aside any weight, any sin, anything that will not be of you this moment, that we could be filled with your spirit. We want to be filled right now, Lord, and we will come here to worship, to lift you up, to encourage, to be built up in our most holy faith by the word of God, which is food for our soul, and the living water, which is drink for our thirsty, parched lips. Lord, right now, we need you. May we decrease, may you increase, and may the word of God have a permanent effect on our direction and our walk. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask you and praise you, and we say amen, amen, amen. 646-668-8468. Again, friends, I want to invite you guys to, two things. I want you to stand with us in prayer. Please pray for my health. Pray for God to use me, continue to use me. Also, I need you guys to pray for, stand with me in the gap, praying for my disability. I got two things going on, one with the military and one with the SSI, and I need the body of Christ to stand with me, fervently praying for me, get my disability. I haven't had income in 7-8 months now, and you guys, I really need you to stand with me. That's why I've been asking you if you can donate. If I had 100 people that donated $5 a month, it could go a long way to help me and my family as well, doing the things that I'm trying to do right now as far as continue with the ministry, to be able to continue to get the word of God out. And I just want you guys, to pray about that. See what the Lord tells me, and if you feel if the Lord is leading you to participate, please do so. If he's not, then that's okay too. I'm going to continue to do it as long as God will give me breath to breathe and a voice to speak. So I just ask of you guys to prayerfully consider that. And you can do that by going to my page. The GoFundMe account is posted up there pretty much every day. And you can be able to go to the link, and you can donate whatever amount the Lord puts on your heart. But I just want you guys to see that. I'm not here to hustle anybody. I'm not here to pimp anybody. It's not some scam deal. Don't do none of that stuff. That's unethical and that's unbiblical. So I just want people that feel led by the Holy Spirit to participate in what God is doing through these ministries. Now, again, welcome those who might be watching through Periscope, those who are watching through Facebook Live, and those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio. I want to just thank you guys for being part of the ministry. And if it's just one person I minister to, or it's 1 million, I'm going to continue to do what God has called me to do. And I'm not going to back down. And, that's just the way it is, amen? Hey, if you don't stand for the truth, you'll fall for the lie every single day. So, again, I just want you guys to know that I do appreciate the ones that are faithful, that's listening and supporting. And when I get comments from you, it makes me really, I rejoice in that. And I thank you guys for reaching out and letting me know that, hey, I'm ministering to you. If you make comments and share with me that, hey, thank you, that you're being blessed by it, then that makes me feel like, hey, what I'm doing is of importance, because I'm doing it for the Lord, as unto the Lord, but the whole goal is to reach out to people who are struggling in their walk, and those who might not even have a walk. And so every single day, so it's important for us to continue to just trust the Lord with all our heart and continue to fight the good fight. Amen. So I want you guys to know that I'm not taking it for granted. If there's one person or 100 people that's listening, I don't take anybody for granted. And I thank you guys for your support. And again, hey, blessings to all of you. Blessings to all of you. So 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468. Those right now. And again, welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour, and welcome to this ministry. You guys have been I really enjoying just being here for you guys. So I don't take it for granted. Amen. I don't take it for granted. Just know that. Real quick, let me do a quick thing here. Guys, just be trying to invite somebody else. Come check it out. Come check it out. Come get this word. Come get the word. My computer is really acting slow, so please forgive me. We're going to get into this, though. Amen. All right. Again, we left off the other day. We left off on Proverbs 13:15, verse 7. We'll go to Proverbs 8 today, and we'll continue on with that. Proverbs 15:8. Real quick, we'll just cover that. Let me read that, and then we'll get into what does the Bible, what is the word say. No, matter of fact, we did finish. We finished 8. We're on number 9. I'm sorry. Proverbs 15:9, that's where we're going to start today. And I want you guys to, again, track along with us. As we've been going through this contrast, and you can see some things are repetitive. God, he says it a different way, but he still, if God says it 200 times in the Bible, he must want us to get it. And the bottom line is it's about us walking in wisdom. It's about us receiving what God has for us. And we want to make sure that we're not missing out on what God has for us. But friends, we're living in some dark times, man. And a lot of people around here are around here playing games, man. And I keep reminding us, it's important for us, each and every one of us, to look at what's happening. Signs are written. They're coming fast. That God is speaking from his word. Prophetic events are happening all over the world. And we got terrorists out here. We got storms in all kinds of places, earthquakes in all kinds of diverse places. You know, the love of most is waxing cold. Friends, these are the end times. And if you want to act like you can do whatever you want to do and keep on living La Vida Loco, you can do that. But remember, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, and you will pay the price. That's the second death. Don't think about it. The first death is A. You died spiritually. That was the death that Adam gave us. We all are under that death. But the second death is when you stand before the great white throne of judgment, you will be judged for your rejection of the Messiah. You rejected his love message, rejected the message of hope that you could have been saved, but you thought you knew better than God. Number nine, 15:9, Proverbs 15:9. We're going to read down to 20, and then we're going to go back up, and then we'll kind of chop these up, and if I get some calls, if some people call in, we'll take some calls around 3:30 if we stick around that long. Hopefully we'll finish within 45 minutes, but we'll stick around to about 3:30, and we'll cut it off there, and then we'll have a part three probably early in the morning. We'll have a part three. And so, therefore, we're just going to basically cover verses 9 through 20, and we'll see how much time we got left with that. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 15:9 says this: the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues after righteousness. Number 10, stern discipline is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Number 11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Number 12, a scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. 13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. 14, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. 15, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with. 17, better is a dish of vegetables where love is, fattened ox, and hatred with it. 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. 19, the way of the sluggard is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. And number 20, a highway or a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Father God, we thank you for the reading of your word, and may you give us clarity as we go through your holy writ, one verse at a time. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. 646-668-8468. I want to thank you guys. Again, I want to remind you, hey, please, if you're being blessed, send me an email. You can reach out to me at dkendricksr@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on dkendricksr65 on Twitter. That's how you can plug into Periscope with me. And you can also be able to watch from there. And also, you know, you can hit me up. I'm going to put out again my cell phone number. I like to talk to people that need help, need encouragement. So you can hit me up at 424-702-8135. 424-702-8135 for those who might need some encouragement, some prayer. You can reach out to me. If I don't answer right away, I will get back to you. But just know that, hey, the doors are open, where this ministry is about reaching out to souls, helping encourage people and build you up in your most holy faith. Amen? So that's what's important. That's what's up. That's what I'm here for. Amen. 646-668-8468. Part two of Proverbs chapter 15, contrast between the upright and the wicked. You see here in verse 9, he says, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves one who pursues righteousness. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. See, this is not popular in today's church age, because if you tell somebody that God hates them and hates their sin, and see, this is the thing about it. People will say, well, God loves the sinner and hates the sin. True, but see, God is the only one, because he has created us, he's the only one that can love us and hate us at the same time. He can hate wicked people. If you're a murderer, if you're somebody that commits, say for instance you're an abortion doctor, and you murder babies from the womb, God is not in, you're not in favor with God. Just because the law says that that's a legal practice, my Bible says that's an abomination. That's no different than what the pagan nations did in Israel's time back in the first century, when they were basically sacrificed their children to these pagan gods by putting them in the fire. No different, because they were worshiping pagan gods. Well, guess what? In today's church, or today's society, in America specifically, we live in a culture where we have basically, we're practicing a pagan practice of, now we have called it a woman's right to choose. A woman's right to choose. Friends, you can't choose to kill what God has made. Who gives us the right to treat babies like they're zero, like they have no kind of say-so? Well, God has already spoken to us about he hates the shedding of innocent blood, and that child is made in the imago Deo, the image of God. We see here again, the way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves one who pursues righteousness. You cannot be a murderer and then pursuing righteousness. Oh, I'm a good person. Oh, I'm okay because I'm not doing anything. The woman didn't want the baby, so therefore I can do what I want to do. I'm just committed. I'm just providing a service. No. No, friends, it don't work like that. Note that the verse says that God loves those who pursue righteousness. You cannot be a murderer and pursuing righteousness. That's an oxymoron. That goes against the word of God. That slaps God in the face. That says to God that you have to accept what I call righteous versus what you have already deemed to be righteous in your word. Proverbs 6:16 has already told us what is an abomination, the shedding of innocent blood. So if you say you love God, then you would not want to kill one of his little ones, because the Shema tells us that we should love the Lord God with all our soul, with all our mind, our soul, our strength, and we should love our neighbor as ourselves. How can I love my neighbor and kill babies? And it could be anybody. It could be somebody just murdering people, mowing down children, killing people, just going on a killing spree. Group of murderers is no different from another group. When they snatching the heads of babies off their necks in the womb, that's pretty low, friend. That's pretty wicked. That's pretty abominable. Again, he says that the first says that God loves those who pursue righteousness. This is a lifelong journey, but inconsistent pursuit of it. Seek for it. This is a lifelong journey. Be in constant pursuit. This is a person that's in constant pursuit of it, and they seek for it. See, when you're a Christian, friend, you should always want to do those things which are good and pleasing to God versus what is evil. You should always want to do the things that's going to uplift the name of God and make him look good versus those things that make him look bad. Because when people say, oh, God, he allows all this killing in the world. No, God has allowed us to show our hearts how dark they are, and the word of God tells us in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can understand it? God says he tests the heart. See, God, once mankind violated God's law, man basically put himself down that spiral road to hell. But God gave them an opportunity to come back in right standing. In the Old Testament, he used types and shadows. that would eventually lead up to his son, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and one day man would have the opportunity to come into a favorable relationship with God Almighty through his son, Jesus. Again, he shows us this. This is a lifelong journey. Be consistent, pursue, in constant pursuit of it. Seek for it. Hunt for it. It is a prey not easily caught. No, but righteousness is not easily caught because you got to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. He is the standard of righteousness. He is the dictionary of righteousness. He is the standard of holiness, godliness, right living. He is the righteous. He is the standard of wisdom. And the moment that we turn our back on God or his son, Jesus Christ, we have basically told him that we are not going to follow your standard. We have our own agenda. Anytime we make Jesus out to be a liar, you're calling God the Father a liar. Next verse, number 10. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. This is a person who basically has had the opportunity to taste and know that the Lord is good, know that his words are true, know that the words of God cannot lie, that he's not a God that can lie to us. Unfortunately, many will still turn away because their hearts are turned away when we're no longer following after the truth, when we're basically trying to get God to compromise and to think how we think versus us thinking as he told us to think. Grievous punishment is for him who forsakes the way. Remember, Jesus told us, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. He who hates reproof will die. Are you rejecting instruction? Are you rejecting wisdom? Are you rejecting correction? Then guess what? You will die because you do not want to listen to what the Word says. You do not want to listen to God Almighty. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Don't give up on the pursuit of righteousness. Proverbs 15:10. Don't give up on the pursuit of righteousness. The warnings are clear. Punishment and death are for the unrighteous. You have to choose life, friends. You choose life in the form of Jesus Christ, or you choose death in the form of Satan, the flesh, and the world. But you can't have both. It's Christ or death or hell. Christ and life. Hell and death, eternal damnation. For the believer, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And being in Christ Jesus is not just with your intellectual conception, but it must be a Holy Spirit-filled and led lifestyle of biblical direction. You don't just pick up Jesus when he's convenient on Sunday. Jesus got to be, he's the way, the truth, and the life every day of the week. So again, he says, don't give up on the pursuit of righteousness. The warnings are clear. Punishment and death are for the unrighteous. Number 11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Proverbs 15:11. Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men. Here we see the pit of hell open up. The grave is open up. In other words, friends, the death rate is still one per person. We're all going to meet it one day. Some of us might be raptured up, but guess what? If you're not raptured up, there's going to be a judgment one day. And you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Children of the devil will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Children of God will spend eternity with the Heavenly Father. And there's going to be a judgment based on the fact of what did you do with the truth? What did I do with the truth? He says again, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? The abodes of destruction lie open before the Lord. He sees it all. Do you not think that he can see into the hearts of men, no matter how dark their hearts may be? See, many people in today's society are trying to tell you they're good. Many Christians are trying to tell you they're good, like they've arrived and they've met the standard of God. And in their own strength, I'm not talking about they have embraced the righteousness of Christ. I'm talking about those who basically think that their righteousness, they're good enough for heaven by pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps. Friends, without the grace of God, without the redemptive power of the Holy Spirit and the regeneration that has been going on, sanctification, us working out our salvation through fear and trembling, and a daily attitude that I want to be more like Christ and less like myself, I would still be in my sin. I would still be an enemy of the cross of Christ. Each and every one of us would. There's nothing you could do apart from Christ to make yourself good enough for the kingdom of glory. Nothing. Each and every one of us were all filthy rags. All of us deserve hell. The heart is sick, Jeremiah 17:9 said. It's desperately sick. We couldn't clean our hearts up. We couldn't make ourselves better people. Even on our best day, we still fell short because Christ's righteousness had to be put upon us. The Father looks at us and says, "It's nothing good about Daryl Leroy Kendrick Sr. But my son is the standard. He's holy. He's righteous. He's the one who died for Daryl. He's the one that took my place. He took my sin. And because of him, I stand forgiven, and I stand in right standing of righteousness. His righteousness, not mine." Don't ever think that you're good enough for heaven. None of us were good enough for heaven. But Christ made us good enough for heaven. Hallelujah. So we see here again, Sheol and Abaddon is open before the Lord. How much more the hearts of men? Your heart, when God looks at your heart now, he doesn't see your heart. He sees Christ standing in front of you, covering you. The blood of Jesus continues to wash his children. Because we still fall short. Some days, on some of our days when we're in that flesh and we're thinking wrong, we're acting wrong, and we're making wrong choices, it's because we still show how unfaithful we can be and ungodly we can be when we're not walking the way God wants us to walk. We have the power to walk in obedience now versus when before we came to the cross, we kept on doing what our sin nature was ruling and reigning us. It was pulling us by the collar and telling us, hey, do this, say that, walk that way, walk this way. But now that we are free from the bondage of sin, now that we have been regenerated, we're no longer slaves to sin. And the more we read our book, our manual, I like to call it the SOP, the Standard Operating Procedure for Heaven. In the military, we had that we called the Standard Operating Procedure for everything. They had one for if you were cleaning the room, GI in the bathroom, whatever it was. There was a Standard Operating Procedure for pulling guard duty, for whatever your job. There was a Standard Operating Procedure for everything, guard duty, whatever. So this is our Standard Operating Procedure for holy living, the Bible. Basic instruction before leaving earth, man. We can avoid hell, friends, when we apply this book. Amen? All right. Let's look at number 12. We're in Proverbs 15:12 now. A scoffer does not love one who reproves him. He will not go to the wise. This is a true statement. You know, somebody that's a scoffer, a mocker. I was dealing with a brother this morning. He basically was just scoffing the Bible. Oh, the Bible's full of lies, and God murdered everybody. God's a murderer, and, you know, again, foolishness from the mouth of a fool. And the Bible says don't entertain people like that. You know, don't argue with a fool unless they turn on you. You know, and I'm paraphrasing that. But we see here that a scoffer does not love one who reproves him. In other words, if I come to you in love as a brother in the body of Christ and I want to correct you with the word of God and you're a scoffer, you will chances are you're going to hate what I say to you because it will bring conviction upon you. It's going to bring conviction. That conviction, you don't want nobody telling you the truth. You don't want nobody to correct you. You don't want nobody to tell you that what you're doing is a violation of God's word. It could be a violation of ethics. It could be a violation just of being a decent human being. A scoffer does not love one who reproves. He will not go to the wise. You try to send somebody to get some wise counsel. So take two people that's scoffers or two people that's lost and dead in their trespasses and sins, and you try to send them to a Christian counselor. They're gonna scoff and mock, and they're gonna cut up. They're gonna do all that they do. Why? Because truth convicts. Truth tells you exactly. It gets to the heart of your issue. It gets deep inside your business. And truth is not recognized in the heart of a person as a fool. They don't want it. But see, they want to be right. Their pride will not let them admit what I've done or what I said was wrong. I could tell a lot more stories, personal stories about that, because I've sat in counseling sessions with people, and I was the one being counseled with my partner at the time, and that person didn't want to receive counsel. They were looking for every opportunity to make God out to be a lie. Every opportunity. And we got to be careful, friends. Notice what he says about this. None of us like reproof, but at times perhaps it is needed. Approach any correction with humility. Listen, and if correction is needed, heed to it. Look, when truth hits us hard, when it corrects us, when it calls us out, it exposes us for what it is. It exposes us and our pride, and our pride gets in the way of correction. Why do you think Satan couldn't repent, or why do you think Satan basically was cast down from heaven? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped like God. He wanted the glory that belonged to the Almighty, and when he couldn't get it, instead of repenting, what did he do? He led a host, he led an insurrection in heaven, and basically he was cast out of heaven because he wanted his glory. He wanted his throne, and he couldn't humble himself to come back and ask the Father to give him. Remember, Lucifer was an angel, the most beautiful angel in all of God's creation of heavenly hope. But because of his pride, he was cast down. And pride will cast you down, my friend. Pride will take us down. When we don't want the truth, we look for an option, an A, B, or C door. If we can't get what we want, we're going to look for another option, or we'll find somebody that's going to tell us what we want to hear. We're going to look for somebody that's going to tell us what we want to hear. And God says, you got to deal with this. You got to deal with correction. You can't be a scoffer. You can't be somebody that's just going to spit in my face and tell, oh, I don't like what God says, so I'm just going to, I need somebody else to give me another opinion. You know what they say about opinion. Means nothing. Number 13, Proverbs 15:13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. When there is joy in the heart, there should be a smile on the face. But when the heart is sad, it affects the spirit. Hey, look, we all have our emotions. Our emotions should not dictate who we are in Christ, but they are real. We have to learn to balance our emotions to where our emotions line up with the Word of God and the will of God, and not let our emotions take us captive. But this is the truth. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. When everything is going well with your walk with the Lord, when you're blessed and you're being used by God, doesn't it make you happy? Aren't you feeling the joy of the Lord? Don't you feel the peace of God around you? But if people come and try to crush and tear down your spirit, when they come and try to bring you down and murder you with their vile and wicked, they come and murder you with words. You're trying to do the work of the Lord, but they're steady trying to step on you. How do we respond? We know we can't. Biblically, we're not to respond as they respond. We have to go back to the Lord. We have to pray for them. We have to lift them up. Sometimes silence is the best way. Remember, when Jesus was being tried before he was persecuted and flogged, what did he do? He didn't utter a word. He was silent. Because he knew he had done no sin. There was no sin found in his life. They couldn't even, when Caesar basically was convicting him, in fact, he couldn't convict him. He said, I have found no wrong in this man. But it was Israel, it was his own people, it was the Jews that put him to death. They wanted, he had to let somebody go, but guess what they did? He let the thief go. Barabbas. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. We know our joy comes from the Lord. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, my friends. And if we're going to have a joyful heart, a joyful life, then we must walk in the fruit, in the Spirit, so we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that doesn't mean we're going to always feel what we really are. Doesn't mean that we're not going to go through some trials and persecution. But even in that persecution, when we realize that God is allowing us to go through that, to grow and mature, and to go to that next level of a spiritual walk, we need to realize how much God is with us, even in the midst of the storm. And again, he says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Again, number 14, Proverbs 15:14. The mind of an intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. What we feed our minds is just as important as what we feed our bodies. I was talking about that earlier today. Go back on the live, Facebook Live, my earlier message. We talked about, what are you eating? What are you feeding your soul spiritually? How are you feeding yourself? Are you in a healthy, well-balanced church? Or are you out there eating from the pig pen of false teachers? People who are leading you away from the Word of God, feeding you cotton candy sermons, Snicker bars and cookies and cream. All those things might be good. They might taste good, but guess what? They're leading you away from the truth. Again, he says, Proverbs 15:4, the mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge. Let me go back here. The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly. See, what we feed our minds, what we feed our minds, just as important as what we feed our bodies. The kinds of books we read, the people we talk to, the music we listen to, and the films we watch are all part of our mental diet. Be discerning, because what you feed your mind influences your total health and well-being. Thus, a strong desire to discover knowledge is a mark of wisdom. Wow, that's a mouthful. What are you and I feeding ourselves daily? How much of God, how much time is God getting of us? How much are we giving of ourselves to God and his kingdom and his mission? We can make excuses. 24 hours in a day, got jobs, some of us work, night shift, and all of that. But God is not concerned about the time you get, how much time, but it's a consistent of time. What are you feeding? What are you giving back to God? The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. When you are walking, when you're a child of God, your mind belongs to God. And if your mind belongs to God, that means your will and desire belong to God. But again, the mouth of the fools feeds on folly. Garbage in, garbage out. Garbage in, garbage out. Stinking thinking will give you a stinky lifestyle, a stinky walk with God. In other words, people won't believe you as a witness, because they don't see you walking in the way. They don't see you walking by the way. You're not conformed to the will of God when you're not walking in wisdom and knowledge. Don't be one of those that read your Bible but don't obey it. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer. When God says, don't do that, you don't do it. And if you're weak, if that's an area you're weak in, remove the weakness. Remove those desires that's causing you to stumble. Remove the things that's causing you and I to trip up. Remove it. Get rid of it. Turn it away. Turn away from it. Throw it out if you have to. If you got a problem with porn, maybe you need to bring somebody in your house. You put a filter on your computer, and they got the password. And they block the areas that's going to cause you to stumble. That's good for you. You got to throw the computer out. You need your computer. Computer's a good resource. But if you got a problem with porn, you need to put blocks. Somebody needs to hold you accountable. Don't be a victim because you was a fool. You chose to be a fool. Don't be a victim because you chose to be a fool. He tells us Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Our attitude, color, our whole personality. Ooh, I could go on this for a minute. Our attitudes color the whole of our whole personality. I have seen this firsthand, friend. When you have somebody that will not change their attitude to an attitude that is attributed to the Spirit of God, friend, I promise you, your personality will stink. You must go, pew! That is a stinky personality. And some folks don't even see it because they don't have the Spirit of truth in them. Again, look at what he says in Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Our attitudes color our whole personality. We cannot always choose what happens to us, but we can choose our attitude towards each situation. People say all the time, man, you don't know what they did to me. Don't matter. What does God say? How are we supposed to respond? He tells us to love our enemies. By doing so, we can heat down hot coals upon them. Don't vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He will repay. Our attitude, how we respond because somebody treated us bad, never ever is justification for us to retaliate in word or in deed. It's never acceptable because we are the ones that lose the blessing that God has for us because we responded in the way of the flesh and we missed the blessings that God had for us. He says again, the secret to a happy heart is filling our mind with thoughts that are true, pure, and lovely, with thoughts that dwell on the good things in life, Philippians 4:8. This was Paul's secret as he faced imprisonment, and it can be ours as we face the struggles of daily living. You and I have been given an opportunity to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. That doesn't mean that we're not going to go through the refiner's fire. God is going to grow us up and mature us, but it's up to us to take up our cross and follow him. This life is not a life of ease and please. That might be sold in the prosperity churches, but that is not biblical. We're going to go through some persecution. Some of us might be in prison. There are brothers and sisters right now in prison in China, over in the Middle East. There are brothers and sisters fighting a good fight from a jail cell, and they might have a page of a Bible passage. That's all they got. And what they learned before they went to prison. And guess what? God has given them the grace to go through this. And actually, they're in prison witnessing the guards right now. They're lifting up the name above all names. They're encouraging other people, praying for those people who are persecuting them. Well, you know you've really grown when you can pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you, those that come against you, those that will tear you down, those who will talk about you and malign your name, and you can say, Lord, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you, instead of retaliating with anger and malice, you retaliate with love and say, can I pray for you? You know how you can mess the devil's whole day up when folks are willing all kinds of evil at you, and you say, you just stop and say, I'm going to pray for you right now. And you just bow your head and pray for them, and you don't care what they say or what they think. That right there is humility, and that right there is the Holy Spirit cutting down that wall and that malice and that wicked heart. That takes every bit of the Holy Spirit because our flesh wants to rise up. Especially some of us know what God delivered us from. We know that we was fighters or we had that anger issue. And when God has humbled you and got you to a place where now you can be able to pray for those who might attack you, and instead of you retaliating in the flesh, just start praying and praising God and thanking God. But, Lord, thank you that I'm not like I used to be. Thank you I'm not responding in my flesh. Lord, I pray for this brother. I pray for this sister. Again, what did he say again? All the days of the afflicted are bad. Don't you know that ungodly people, their days are bad. No matter how good they think they got it, their days are bad. They're under God's wrath. But a cheerful heart has a continual feast. When your heart is full of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You feast on the Word. You feast on God's grace, and you understand what He has for you. Again, look at what he says. Well, he says this is Paul's secret as he faced imprisonment, and it can be ours as we face struggles of daily living. Look at your attitude and then examine what you allow to enter your mind and what you choose to dwell on. That's why Romans 12:1-2, he says, I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves holy and acceptable, for this is the will of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once our minds are gathered up and girded up, once our minds are filled with the Holy Spirit and we're walking in the Spirit of truth, guess what? We don't have to let the flesh win the war. We don't have to allow the enemy to get to us and to tear us down. No matter what you go through, let God shine through you in the midst of the storm, friends. It's not always, you're going to have battles, you're going to have times you fail, but we want the victory because guess what? God has given us authority to do it. He didn't tell us to do anything that he didn't give us authority to do. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourself. That word present means that it was in the perfect tense of the word. It means you need to already have been doing it. Just like when he said, go ye therefore and make disciples, he didn't tell us to go save anybody. But then he said, you should have already left the building. You should have already been out there doing it. It's in the perfect tense. God has given us the authority to go therefore and make disciples. He's given us the authority to take our minds captive. That's why he says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual. It's a spiritual wrestling. We're wrestling against principalities of the air, rulers of darkness. We have to understand our authority, friend. And this ain't no I'm snatching stuff out the air type stuff. We're talking about spiritual warfare here. We're talking about the ability to take our thoughts captive. Under the obedience of God. That's the beauty of the cross, friends. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Proverbs 15:16. If you guys missed this, hey, it's going to be posted up. You can go back and listen to the archives. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a little. Oh, is he saying it's better for me to have a little of something? Then, wait a minute, doesn't that go against most prosperity churches? Because they tell you if you don't have much stuff, you don't have enough faith, right? Wrong. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it, my Lord. Now, who do you think I'm going to believe? Reverend Brother Dr. PhD, ABC, who's sitting there pimping people, or God Almighty who said from his word, it's okay to have a little with the Lord. I'm going to trust Jesus. Amen. He says, they who have the kingdom of God, though they have little of this world's treasures, have much. It is better to know God and follow him than having the treasures of this world and be what? And you have no peace. Ooh. See, friends, you might say, I wish I was a Bill Gates. I wish I was a you know, who some of these other people are. Gosh, can't even think of all of them. But you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you wish you was a multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire. Maybe you wish you was Jay-Z. You know, he's a billionaire now. All of that, hey, without peace. And peace is not just, oh, I'm just peaceful right now. No, peace comes from the King of Peace. The peace that comes from God Almighty and his son, Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace. You have all of the treasures in the world, but if you don't have a relationship with God, friends, you're spiritually bankrupt, and there is no peace. Why do you think most of these rascals always showing their they promote liquor? They're trying to mask everything. They want to think they promote liquor, weed. They promote all of this. You got to get crunk. They don't have no peace. That's why they're masking it behind drugs. These folks do some of the most powerful, they get some of the best pharmaceuticals out there. Dope. This is what they do. They have no peace. Look at what they promote. Their music is about drugs. That's because you cannot find peace in any other person but the person of Jesus Christ, man. You can try to discipline yourself. You can try to make yourself believe that you got peace. But until you have come into a relationship with the one who is giving you life, created you, not only did he create you, but he gave you a life more abundantly, a life that he wants you to live, that no matter what's going on around you, this peace, you can't buy it. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. That's the key right there. Most people don't fear the Lord. We stopped fearing the Lord when we was told by Oprah Winfrey that you didn't have to fear the Lord. So now we basically treat God like he's just some puppet, a pocket God. We pull him out of our pocket, and we rub him like some old rabbit's foot, and then we put him back in our pocket when we don't want to hear what he has to say. Because see, the God, our pocket God, he doesn't talk about sin. Our pocket God never judges us. He never convicts us. He never brings us into any kind of relationship or causes us to check ourselves. Our pocket God is a pocket God that basically tells us that we can do whatever we want, live however we want, and there's no consequence. Well, that's not the God of Scripture. Not the God of Scripture, my friend. You might have a pocket God, but if you don't have the God of creation and his son Jesus Christ is not Lord and Master over you, and you're walking, he is the way, the truth, and the life in your life, then he's not, you don't really have him. You don't really know him. Number 17, tell us here. Proverbs 15:17 says this. It tells us, better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. You imagine going to a smorgasbord and you got all of these meats and delicacies on the table and you can eat up all of them. But hatred. You know, who wants to eat with grumpy people? Who wants to eat at a table full of people where they're spitting out evil and their malice and there's no love there? You know, in the biblical days, do you know fellowship consisted of a meal? God took very special emphasis on the fact that fellowship was koinonia, coming together and eating and partaking of a meal. It was a very important principle of the first century church. It was you couldn't just come and just eat with somebody and you was wrong. You was living living an unclean life. If you was a pagan or the Jews took that very came and partook of a meal. It was a very. Cause remember, in the Old Testament, before in Judaism, these feast days were days of fellowship. You know, they gave up sacrifices. Their sins were being atoned for. So, to eat of a meal during the time of Jesus, it was very important, and they took it seriously. It wasn't just, hey, we just sitting down here chilling and eating. No, it was a time of worship. It was a time of fellowship. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. To have company of the love is always better. To have the company of loved ones is always better. Why is it people, you know, you go to some folks' house, and especially during the holiday, especially around the holiday time, you can have people just seem, they can be downright evil. You know, Christmas is, you know, you find people, they you ain't seen folks all year, but these certain holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, sometimes Easter, these days are basically, you know, times when people get together for family, they have friends over. You ever been to a place where you just feel out of place? When you go there to eat a meal, you go there, it's supposed to be a time of community and fellowship and people getting along. Now, let's quite look at, you know, when you got liquor and folks getting, you know, they sitting there drinking up the liquor and they're getting drunk, you're going to have problems. To see what's going on when a person is getting drunk, what's in them comes out. We see here that the company of hatred with surrounding, rich surroundings mean nothing when hatred rules. You can go to a mansion, you can go there and eat at a 5-star restaurant, but if you've got a bunch of fools that hate each other around there, how dark is that? How dark is that? It means nothing. Number 18, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. A hot-tempered man. Got anger issues? Are you one that's full of anger? And when anger comes out of us, guess what else comes out of us? What's in your heart? You know, many people got issues going on where, you know, as soon as they get angry, and this is where they justify their anger, because they say, well, I'm a work in progress. Mm-hmm. Yep, I got that. Matthew 15, real quick. Jesus says this in Matthew in chapter verse 1. He says, then some Pharisees, scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, and why do you yourselves transgress the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? Jesus now turns it back on them because they were challenging his disciples because they hadn't washed the outside. And then he goes back and says, well, why do you transgress? Because he's dealing with the heart now. Jesus is dealing with their heart. So he goes on to say, for God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever shall say to his father and mother, anything of mine you might have been helped, might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Jesus is tearing them down with this because he's dealing with how they have perverted the law of God, and then they put into it things that weren't of God. They put their own traditions in there. They took the Mosaic Covenant and they made it more wicked instead of God's law, but it was perverted now. Just like the devil, he's always doing this. This is what he does. So he goes on to say, he goes down here to verse 8. He says, verse 7, he says, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain they worship me, teaching doctrines of precepts of men. Oh, now Jesus gets ready to lay into these folks. See, this is why I got a problem with so-called students of the Word of God who act like Jesus just loved everybody and never dealt with the heart of people. This is Jesus right here dealing with the heart of people. And if you turn to Matthew 24, you'll see again, he gets really deep in their business. Seven woes of condemnation where God Almighty, the Son of God, has basically laid a death penalty upon these folks and called them out and called them children of hell. Can you imagine the Son of God condemning you while you're on earth, yet you're still alive? You're still alive. He's already called them out. He called their sin out, and he deals with it. He goes on to say this. And after he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, it's not what enters into a mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then the disciples came to him and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. In other words, whatever God did not plant, whoever God did not call, Satan is called. There are many people that's been called into the church by the Father of lies. They have a false sense of worship. They're just like these Pharisees, self-righteous. He goes on, he says, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind, and if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit. In other words, You cannot lead a person that spiritually got his eyes open by the Holy Spirit into a deception that he'll fall into a pit. He or she has been spirit-filled, therefore their eyes are open to be able to walk in discernment and judge what is good and evil, right and wrong. Amen? He goes on to say, the heart of a man, verse 15, and Peter answered and said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes the stomach and is eliminated? He's talking about waste, human waste. Then he goes on to say, but things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those that defile the man, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. He goes, these are the things which defile the man, but the evil with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So we see here very clearly how God deals with the heart issue, how God deals with the issue at hand, and the heart is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. For those that might be watching on Facebook Live, we got a little technical problem. Hopefully it'll reboot up. Hopefully it'll get back on track. If not, we have to catch the end of it on Blog Talk Radio. But back at verse at 15. Again, what he says here in verse 7, 15, 18. Listen before a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. You and I have the ability, friends, as children of the Most High God, we can choose to walk in the Spirit or make excuses for our flesh. But we can't say we don't know the right thing to do, especially those who have been growing in this book we call the Bible and walking. And this is our standard and our foundation. If you've been discipled, if you've been maturing, if you've been eating of the heavenly manna, then you and I have the opportunity and ability to walk and live accordingly. We do have the power and ability to live upright. And we don't have to let anger rule and reign over us. Amen? So we need to look at what he says. Everyone must be, he says, listen before you speak. There may be an appropriate time for anger, but more often than not, most of us don't find it. The Bible tells us everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. James 1:19 and 20, we're told clearly. So you and I have no excuse to let anger be justified on a regular basis. There comes a time when anger can be justified and right, but the Bible tells us, be angry but sin not. Be angry but sin not. So even if you're angry, don't let your anger cause you and I to sin. Don't let it be a stepping stone or a stumbling block for our witness. Amen? And I think some people get this twisted that, oh, Jesus never got angry with anybody. Oh, yes, he did. What Bible are you reading? Jesus never judged anybody. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus loved everybody. Yeah, he loved people enough to tell them to get out their sin. When people wouldn't get out their sin, they were judged because of their rejection of him as being their friend, them being their Lord and Savior. You and I have been given light. The light has been given to us. But people will choose darkness rather than light. John 3, 6, 16, all the way down to 20. People choose light. Darkness rather than light, because their heart is evil. Bottom line, none of us going to have any excuse when we stand before the Holy God. Amen. Proverbs 15:19. Two more. Proverbs 15:19. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. The way of the lazy is as a hedge of thorns. But the path of the upright is a highway. The path of the upright may not always seem easy. It's not. You know, to do the right thing, take the high road, to be that better man, better woman, in the sense of how will this affect my relationship with God and my fellow man, it means that, hey, for humility has to play the key role. Our pride cannot be the standard. Our pride must never be the standard of us trying to make ourselves be justified or righteous in front of you know, in the sense of, oh, well, I'm not going to let them get away with this or let them get away with that. No, we got to humble ourselves. The way of the lazy is a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway. Again, he says, but look at the alternatives. Who would want to travel down the middle of a hedge of thorn bush? It is sad that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. May be good in math, but if there is a hedge of thorns in the way, it is better to travel around it. This reminds me of Joseph. Joseph was given that hedge of thorns in his way. So the detour that God took him on, that brought him around through many different circumstances, and it wasn't pleasant, but God was with him in the midst of all the circumstances. Go back and read what happened with Joseph just before the children of Israel were taken into captivity and they were put in slavery. Joseph had favor with God the whole time. When his brothers had put him in the pit and left him to die, God, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Hallelujah. Sometimes, friends, you might be going through that. Somebody might have put you in a pit. Somebody might have allowed you to go through some things where you have been torn down and your character has been maligned and you might have been put in a, you might have been judged falsely. Remember that when you're a child of God, God is faithful. And sometimes God is teaching us to trust in him in the midst of that prison, in the midst of that thorn bush. God is working on our hearts, and he's working on our faith. He wants to take our faith to another level where we have to be faithful in the midst of that. Amen? We have to be faithful in the midst of our trial as God is trying to build character in us. Amen. Amen. But number 20, this is our last one for this afternoon. And again, you can call in 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. Those who would like to call in if you want prayer, or if you just have a question or a comment, this would be an opportunity to go ahead and get on the phone and get ready as we close out Proverbs 15:20. Again, he says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Parents ought to care about their children, and when a child is wise, it is pleasing to the parents. However, when a child is a fool, he or she cares less about how they affect their own parents. Man, we see so much of disrespect in these last days. We see so much disobedience. We see so much of what happens when a household is out of order because they don't fear God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. You know, God tells us in his word, children, obey your parents. And by doing so, you have long life, but this is what happens when we don't. What happens when we refuse to take heed to God's word, and, you know, he tells us, you know, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is a right. For this is right. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, Exodus 20:12. This came back from the Mosaic Covenant. It hasn't changed. But why do people disrespect? Why are children killing their parents? I thought about a story that I heard. I think I was on the road during this time. It was a young man had raped his own grandmother. He was giving her some kind of a sleeping pill or a medicine, and the man was 8. I think he was in his 20s. His grandmother was in her 60s or something, and he was raping his grandmother. He was giving her something, and he was taking her clothes off while she was asleep. You know, who does that? Who does this kind of thing? We got wicked people, friends. You know, with the things that we think won't happen or can't happen, these are the things that happen daily around the world. There's so much perversion, so much evil going on, and people don't have any kind of respect for their parents and their loved ones. And as I read earlier, 2 Timothy 3, that when he, and he says, perilous time. We're living in them, friends. This, again, this is why we need the Lord. People need the Lord. They need a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to say it until I can't say it no more. Until man repents of his sinful nature, until man is turned back to the God that they rejected and come into a personal relationship with him, we're going to keep on seeing this very thing. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Wow. Wow. Parents ought to care about their children, and when a child is wise, it is pleasing to the parents. However, when a child is a fool, he or she cares less about how they affect their own parents. Life without Christ, my friend, is death. That's just it. Life without Christ, without a relationship with Christ, is spiritually dead. This is what we have to look for. Again, in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents and in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Look at all the parents. When children don't honor their mother and father, they get caught up in gang. They get caught up in drugs. They get caught up in all kinds of other malice. They out here killing, stealing, and destroying. Because they don't honor their parents. What we do does affect our relationship, or it makes our parents look bad. When your parents got to come and bail you out in prison, and it looks like, oh, they don't have no control over their kids. No, the kids are not honoring their parents. You can't micromanage a teenager around 24/7. They make choices. They choose not to do the things which are right and pleasing before God. The word obey your parents means to honor them, cherish them. The lifestyle you live is a lifestyle that brings obedience and honor. I'm 50 years old. I stay with my parents. I still have a respect for them. I have a respect for my parents. There's been times when I wasn't doing what I was supposed to because I wasn't walking with God. See, if you're not going to obey the Heavenly Father, you won't obey your earthly mother and father. Let's just get right to it. If your relationship with God is severed, then your relationship with mother and father is going to be severed too. Nothing you can do, because with the honor you give it to your mother and father means nothing if you're not giving that honor to the one who created you, the one who made you. And he's the one that laid out the foundation of how we're supposed to walk. A wise son makes a father glad. How about our wisdom comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ, right? So how do we make our Heavenly Father glad? Well, we're obedient to our Heavenly Father. Because if you're obedient to him, then you definitely will be obedient to your earthly fathers and parents and mothers. And then we'll love our neighbor as Christ told us. And it doesn't matter if your parents are godly or ungodly. You honor them as unto the Lord. You honor them because they are your parents. This ain't popular teaching. That's why people ain't here today. That's okay, though. We're going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on doing what God called us to do. Because guess what? My reward is in heaven, friends. And I couldn't think of nothing better to do. I look forward to days when I know I'm going to come and bring forth a word, because I know it's not my word. And what I'm teaching you, it comes double to me. I got to obey it too. So it's not something that I'm, it's not about me. It's about Christ and him crucified. So I just want to, again, say that it's important for us to take heed to what God is telling us to do in these lessons, because everything he's saying is for our spiritual growth, for us to grow. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, you have spoken volumes to us, or you have spoken to us from the rooftop of heaven down here to earth. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for the wisdom that you're pouring out from your holy writ. We thank you for those who have made this book easy to understand and for us to be able to grab hold to the nuggets. We can even pull out things that we've been through and realize how much wisdom, how much truth you have given us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We don't have to be fools that despise wisdom and understanding. We don't have to be no longer be stumbling because we refuse love of the truth that we may be saying. Lord, we thank you. We just glorify your name. We honor you this day, Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters, Lord God, who have not embraced you. There are many people that are, you told us the laborers were few. The field was white, but the laborers were few. But I pray, Lord God, that we would touch one soul today. They may come to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And for the backslider, we call him today, and her today, that they would come out from among the heathen and be separated and come back home to the Father. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And we say amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome sauce. I like that. Awesome sauce. Amen. I'm free. I am so free. I'm free. I'm free to do what God has called me to do. Hey, I'm broke, but I'm free. And God has given me this freedom, and He's given me the opportunity to come and be joyful. I get a little discouraged when I don't see but one or two people popping in and out, but guess what? I'm still free. Still free. And guess what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay because it's not my ministry. It's God's ministry. I'm just a servant. I'm just a servant. So I just want to thank you guys for being here today. I know that some people at work, and I get that, you know, everybody's not going to support this. But those that do support it, I thank you. Again, I want to ask you guys, stand with us prayerfully. Stand with us financially if you can. GoFundMe. GoFundMe account. You'll see the link on my Facebook page. Hey, if you're being blessed by this and you believe in this ministry, hey, send me a little email, dkendricksr@gmail.com, dkendricksr@gmail.com. Also, hit me up on Twitter at dkendricksr65 at Twitter. And I want you guys to be encouraged. I want you guys to get a chance, go back into the Blog Talk archives, and listen to me, the beginning of Proverbs, which has been, we've been doing about 2 months now. Go back and listen to the beginning of Proverbs back when we started this in April and catch up to it and hear some of the messages from that. You can go to Minister Big Ken 65 if you check it out on Blog Talk Radio. Minister Big Ken 65 on Blog Talk Radio. Hey, I'm your host, Minister Darrell Kendrick, coming to you live, and I want to just encourage you to continue to fight the good fight. Don't give up. Don't give in. Just let the Lord continue to minister to you.
Romans chapter 6.
And remember, you are dead to sin and alive to Christ.
Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yeah. We in the building, in the building. Rest in grace, rest in grace. We in debt, we in debt. Yeah, we got to rest in grace, we got to rest in grace. And the thing that's going to rain, that's going to rest in the limit.
Yeah.
got to begin to see it by the Christ.
Clean.
trees, praise the oceans of the waves. The mountains give a snake and the trees give a praise. The sun fills the earth, east to the west. Your flame comes to die because of avalanche. And for his masters, the earth can't contain him. No fact, he uses stars just as a doormat. The sun has to get permission just to set. The valleys of the field bow down and respect you.
I work twice.